So I'm hoping that when watching this video, that you are relaxed. You are in a place of letting go. And instead of trying to be aware, trying to be focused, trying to be in a meditative state, that you are simply inviting the flow of awareness. You are allowing awareness to flow within you. Of course, it's always there, but it's a reminder to not obscure that natural flow. Thoughts to settle, allow the mind to settle. Sometimes when you're coming from a place of doing or a mind energy and you sit down to be more present, there can often be some eruptions from the mind. Perhaps there's a thought that there's something more important that I should be doing right now, or I don't have time just to sit and be. Even if you do, the mind may come in and say, well, check the time, let's get going, got things to do. And it can feel like a jolt coming from the mind's energy and then stepping into awareness. There may be a residue of mind that is there, a residue of thoughts, and you can allow them to be as they are. You don't have to be perfectly present to do this correctly, but just look, just notice how the mind is, whether settled or unsettled, and bring some attention to the body. How is the body? Whether you notice some tension, some pain, some discomfort, maybe you noticed a body carrying an energy, an emotion, whether it's tired or agitated, anxious. And you can meet it where it is. And just simply be and allow whatever is happening in the body mind. So no need to interfere, to awareness is effortless. You don't have to force it, create it, switch it on. It can feel like that at times when there are big waves of thought energy coming, deep, heavy thoughts that evokes emotion, that evokes more thought, more emotion. And we are in the washing machine of the mind. And if there isn't space for awareness or the perceived possibility that you can be aware and present, then you can accept that. A state of acceptance of what is, or the allowing. Notice what happens to what is being perceived, the sensations. There is prolonged emotion or difficult sensations, notice the role that you're playing. Am I adding more logs to the fire? More thoughts, more emotion? Am I keeping it alive? If you're dealing with body pain, are you adding to it? There may be pain, and that may not be a challenge. In a moment you are okay, there's pain. If there's anything I can do to help that, then I can do that. But are you adding to it? Are you adding a mental structure to the pain? The heavy thought of, why is this happening to me? It's another thing I've got to deal with. In my life situation, I've mentioned in many episodes about my own condition of the mind, the trauma, the mental health challenges as well. And one particular challenge as of late has been fatigue. It's been having a sort of cognitive or a foggy mind and quite severe fatigue in the body. And I've been given some sort of potential diagnosis of that. The label's not important. But of course, in my mind, I could add this to the story. Well, I was dealing with A, B, and C. I was dealing with, you know, depression, anxiety, this and this and this. And now I find it hard to walk, or I can't even get a good night's sleep. To the mind, this will be elation to add to the story. And it's very, very easy to slip into the identity of these symptoms and these diagnoses or diagnoses. And it's ever so subtle, almost like wearing another jacket. At times it's comforting if I was to slip into the identity, because when you're engaging with life and people, there's a part of you that wants people to know and understand what you're going through, how hard perhaps some days are. There's a part of me that wants to, perhaps for the moment I can say it's the egoic self that wants to tell people that, you know, it's hard work. My days are difficult. Again, we talked about before that there's no sort of rules or right and wrong, but perhaps there's a way that this can be shared without the heavy identification, without the story. Of course, on one level, it's great to share. It's the sort of nourishment of relationships to share what's going on with you. How was your day? But perhaps it can be done without the heavy residue of me. This happened to me, and you take the shape, the energetic vibration of that complaint, that, and you can perhaps see it in other people when they are reflecting on a particular life situation or event. On one hand, yes, they're sharing, using words, they're sharing, but then you can sense the immediate weight, like a heavy rucksack, that when they go into the sharing, that they identify with it, and then maybe their body posture changes, and you can sense they're now creating another impression on themselves. So I find for me, it's the fine line between, of course, sharing what is happening if that's what's needed and wanted, but being very aware not to slip into identity. That for me, it's the voice of the poor little me going through all of this and having now to deal with this as well. And I can sense when I slip into that identity that it's almost, it narrows things, everything becomes narrow, and I'm looking through or interacting with the world, with people, through this narrow filter of me and all of this stuff. And maybe my voice changes, my posture changes, it invites thoughts of unhealthy thoughts or dark thoughts about my life. And all of this happens so quickly. So part of this gentle invitation of awareness to be in this natural light state. Not quite accurate, but we'll use that for the moment. And if anything comes up that is heavy or that is not wanted, then it's immediately detected. Instead of going through several washing machine cycles and then realizing, oh, I've been talking about this or identifying with this for the last however or so minutes or hours, and then perhaps in a moment it arises. Maybe a thought arises saying, poor me, or a complaint. And you're there to meet it, not to reject or to judge or to deny. It's allowing that space for humanity as well, the emotions to arise. Oh. And you can honour it. It's not saying it shouldn't be there, or life may be very difficult for you. I know in my situation it's very difficult and challenging, and it's okay to allow that, to acknowledge that. It's not to deny and think, okay, I need to be present and spiritual, I can't label that as difficult. Keep things very simple and keep things very authentic to how you want to interact and how you want to be. And do what works for you. And trust when you're anchored in this space of awareness, you can trust the makeup of who you are, your personality, your emotions, and how you engage. May be very useful to feel the sadness, to acknowledge the difficulty, the challenges. There may be a thought saying that I can't go on. And it's again honoring that, meeting that, feeling that, bringing that close. Acknowledging it may take you deeper into your essence. Eckhart refers to it, your essence. I don't know if you used the words essence, identity, but the essence of who you are. Then there's the humanity, the person, the body, the mind, the emotions, the thoughts. And it's not losing the essence within the experience of being and having this body mind. It also works for the lighter emotions, to laugh, to be joyful. It's when you're anchored in the now, there's a sense of freedom, there's a sense of course it may take perhaps time for that to filter through. I know for me it's still can sense a great deal of rigidity there, to trust in that anchor and then to sort of laugh joyfully, to not feel like I have to limit myself or feel self-conscious if how I am. But that's that process, I believe I can sense that will take care of itself, that refinement of us, the more we are ourselves in that pure, freeing, flowing way. So just a little sharing on what's happening with me and at this this moment, during these last few days especially. Now you can perhaps do a little bit more reading from the book Karma. See where we left off. So we just finished the section titled Human Beings as Bags of Karma. And just before moving on to the next passage or section, there's something I would have liked to have added to the last episode when sort of talking and discussing about the density of the karmic energies that we carry. That the author says, I carry my karma at a distance from myself. This enables me, he says, to not be encumbered by it, by his karma. That I do not carry the load upon myself all the time. And with practice, everyone is capable of this. It is similar to the cloud on which we now store our computer files, accessible when we need it, but that does not clutter our hard disk. Thus, I do have access to lifetimes of memory, but it is all on a cloud. So again, when we are in the state of or being in the present moment, there's no history there. There's no, we talked about those heavy filters, those karmic substance. And when we are in the mind on that autopilot, it is pulling from that old software, that there's all of the impressions that are made, the little me, it's pulling from that. And when you are in the sort of authentic present moment and you are truly yourself, then there's a different quality there. You're not reacting from past, from the impressions. Everything is fresh. And you can choose to access your history, your memories, your emotions, just like it being on a cloud, but you are no longer carrying it with you, no longer at one with that, in that unconscious sense. So we're getting into more detail here in regards to karma and when it comes to memory. So I'll try and select sort of the relevant extracts that I from this section. And this section is called Membranes of Memory. The yogic tradition has an elaborate method of differentiating memory. It distinguishes between eight dimensions, or membranes of memory: the elemental, atomic, evolutionary, genetic, karmic, sensory, articulate, and inarticulate. All eight can be seen essentially as human karma. The first four are types of memory in which personal volition plays no role. The next four are those in which personal volition does play a role. In other words, the first four constitute our collective karma, and the next four constitute our individual karma. I've got a sense of perhaps not sort of going into depth with this here. I feel it's, especially this passage, it's better read as a whole in full, that perhaps maybe the details may not be so important in the sharing, but that maybe just pausing here or knowing that the makeup of karma, the layers, the dimensions that karma is operating on, the collective and the individual. Certain dimensions of memory are shared by all of us. The elemental, the atomic, and the evolutionary. However, our genetic and personal karmas are different. Genetic memory is passed on within families, determining several shared physical and psychological characteristics. Beyond these four types of memory, which make up our collective karma, are the four types of memory in which our personal volition does play a role, and they make up our individual karma. I'll paraphrase some of what is written here. So first there is the personal karmic memory, the impressions that have shaped us over time. And this can involve our quirks and idiosyncrasies, our likes and dislikes, our habits and our preferences. And this creates sensory memory. And then there is the inarticulate memory, the reservoir of genetic and specific information that we are not aware of. And articulate memory, which is the impact of all the conscious information that every human being carries within. So again, there's the four collective and the four individual. Just to clarify, those personal karmic memory, the sensory memory, the inarticulate, and that's the collective karma. Then we have the individual, which is the personal karma, of course, the makeup of our impressions, our habits, our generic and sensory memory. But I'll try and avoid the details, and perhaps it's better read as a whole. just a sample of what is being shared here. These eight dimensions of memory are not separate membranes. They are deeply interlinked, and it is these interconnections that are responsible for the breathtaking diversity of the human beings we see around us. These membranes constitute the entire volume of a human being's karma. Says that the human beings, being the very peak of evolution, can transcend this entire volume of accumulated memory and become the architects of their own destinies. So our collective memories, our collective impressions, and then our personal layers of impressions that are made. And then the transcendence of all of this accumulated memory, whether collective or personal. And by doing this, we can become the architects of our destinies. So again, it's not in a sense that the way I read this and digest, it's not in a sense of critical information that needs to be memorized. We're now looking underneath the bonnet. Remember that first chapter at the start where there was the example of sort of sitting in the back seat of our life, of allowing things to happen or being at the mercy of life, but now moving into the driver's seat with full conscious awareness, interacting, the doing, the being, and now driving that car of life in each moment. And that transcending happening with each conscious breath in each conscious moment. And it's not some thing that has to be built up, or it's happening now in this moment. Us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, and take care.